gather here hand in hand. Welcome to His Stories Broadcast with Pastors Gil Michelle and Kevin Michelin. Every person has a journey in this life, and God is indeed with us in our journey. In this broadcast, you will be encouraged as you hear others share stories of ways that God has worked in their lives. If you are having questions about God, or you know Jesus and like being encouraged and inspired, then we ask that you pay close attention to the program to hear stories of changed lives. In both church and the courtroom, we call these stories testimonies. So stay tuned with Kevin and Gil as we hear some incredible testimonies from inspiring witnesses. It's time to testify.
All right. Well, hey, everybody. Thank you for joining in to His Stories broadcast and podcast. Before we get started with our guest today, why don't we just go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer?
Yes.
Father, we thank you for being so good to us. Thank you for being a good, good Father. Uh-huh. And thank you for watching over us and keeping us. Thank you for the opportunity, Lord God, to proclaim your goodness in the land of the living and to show forth your praise of him who's translated us from darkness into your marvelous light.
Yes.
And Lord, as we share testimonies today, Lord God, about who you are, Lord, and seek to make you famous, I pray that people out there would be touched and moved and inspired and encouraged by our guest this morning. Mm. And so we thank you and we give you praise. Amen.
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 All right. How you doing, Kevin?
Hey, life is good.
Yeah?
Really. I'm excited about the day, so it's good.
Good. Well, I'm glad you're excited
day. Yeah, yeah. But as general as you're going to get it.
Yeah, yeah. I'm doing all right. Got a little work to do later today.
Yeah.
You know, I wear 100 hats. So, you go from doing books and accounting to ripping out bad drywall and mildew.
Do have quite the project that's going on at the church.
At the church, yeah. So that's going really well, and yeah, we're excited. So you start seeing steps. It's like home improvement. You do one thing, and we got to do this. Now we have to add new curtains, you know. And so it's like, let's, you know. But it's been really good. It's encouraging to see.
That is encouraging.
Good. Yeah. But hey, I'm not going to keep talking.
Okay.
We have a very special guest.
We do, and I'd like to be able to introduce him. His name is Mike Cooksey.
Yep.
And we have I'm excited. I think it's a timely interview as well. There's some turmoil and things that have been happening in the country. And Mike, part of his story was that he was a police officer. And so we'd like to be able to hear some thoughts, obviously, in that area, but also, too, really what we want to talk and delve into is you know, your experience and your relationship with Jesus Christ. Right on your shirt, Mike, it says cross training. And so it's a great shirt. Those who are being able to see this through video, you'll be able to see that shirt too. So, but on radio, it's a little tougher to see that.
Yeah, a little tougher.
But cross training. And so obviously you are passionate about your beliefs.
Very much so.
Yeah. And so welcome to the show, Mike. I'm glad you're here.
Yeah, welcome.
And if you could just share a little bit about, I heard that you were born and raised in Colorado, and maybe we can just follow your...
Not born and raised. Raised.
Okay. Been and raised.
I'll give you the Reader's Digest condensed version of my story. I was born in Missouri. A little town called Maryville in the northwest part of the state. I'm old. I was born in 61. And, you know, I was born an only child, and I truly believe that God has a sense of humor, because when I was born, I had red hair. I was left-handed. Of course, I had freckles because I was fair-skinned. Uh-huh. You know, and then being an only child, and it's like, if I don't think there was anything less, you know, that would make me stand out more, you know, than having all, you know, being left-handed back in those days was just unheard
curse,
of. I mean, now it's fairly common, but, you know, the red hair, it's like, you know, like I said, I'm convinced God has a sense of humor, because it's like, you know, anybody that wants to stay under the radar, which is me, it's like, you can't do that when you stand out, you know. And, you know, just needless to say, back then is a lot different than it is now. I mean, kids grow up so fast. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just, it's incredible. I mean, I think kids probably know by the age of 10 what I probably learned when I was 21, you know.
Yeah.
And I had a very good childhood. When I was 12 years old, my dad, for whatever reason, decided that he wanted to move to Colorado.
Okay.
And, you know, people think it's funny because I'm not a big fan of camping, but for the first 6 months we lived in Colorado, we lived in a tent. And this was in the wintertime.
Oh, my God.
Okay, I mean, this is like when temperatures were 20 and 30 below. So, my idea of fun is not going and hanging out in a tent. But
amen.
I mean, sorry. You know, I don't discourage it, but it's you know, my idea of a camping trip is maybe the Holiday Inn or something.
Yeah,
childhood was fairly normal. well, sort of normal. But anyway, kind of what got me started, at the age of 16, I became involved in the youth group at church. And I won't lie. I mean, I think primarily the reason I initially got involved was to meet women.
Sure.
You know, meet
yeah.
young girls. And right. that's like...
That's why I joined.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, so I'm not the only
no,
one.
No, you're not by yourself.
It's good to know that I'm yeah. not the Lone Ranger. But, yeah. You know, I got involved in that, and... I worked summers at a camp for underprivileged Catholic kids out of Denver. It's called Camp Santa Maria.
Okay.
And had an incident happen one day. We had actually been out working one of the fields, and as we were coming back in, you know, we noticed a bunch of activity. There was like a helicopter on the ground called Flight for Life, local fire department, local sheriff's department. And apparently what had happened when we finally got back to the camp is a young boy, a 10-year-old boy, had drowned.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, we come back, and like I said, there's this flurry of activity. And I'm watching all these people try to resuscitate this child, which, you know, unfortunately he didn't make it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, at that point in my life, my mom had really been on me about picking a career.
Mm-hmm.
And it just kind of snapped.
Yeah.
It's like, that's it. That's what I want to do. And so gradually, you know, that's one of the benefits of living in a small community is everything's volunteer. Rescue's volunteer.
Right.
Fire
right.
department's volunteer. Yeah. So, you know, I began working my way up, you know, taking first aid classes, advanced first aid. When I turned 18, I got my EMT. So, anyway, got involved with that. And me and a couple other guys, we got a reputation of being very good at what we did.
Mm.
And so... the local sheriff's department, you know, said, why don't you guys come out and ride with us
wow.
so you can have a patient stabilized, uh-huh. you know, because it takes about, in the suburbs on a volunteer crew, it takes like 20 to 30 minutes to get the
right.
crew together.
Yeah.
Wow.
Right.
So we would arrive at the scene with the sheriff's office, stabilize the patient, and then it was just a matter of them, you know, basically doing what we call a swoop and scoop.
Okay.
You know, they'd come in, pick up the patient, and they were gone. But mm-hmm. Then I became, interested in law enforcement.
Okay.
So... long story short, I graduated high school, I went in the military, as a military police officer. That was my MOS or, you know, specialty or whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of went more with the law enforcement, but even in the military, we put together they didn't call it SWAT. It was called Emergency Services Team. But I became involved in that, and we became certified as medics. And, you know, so it's just I kind of, for several years, I mean, basically in a nutshell, I was a police officer for 30 years, a medic for 20, and a tactical medic for like 3 years.
Wow. Well, when you were talking about that, it reminded me of an incident when I was so how old were you when you were, like, just watching you mentioned that you were talking about you said the swoop and scoop and being able to stabilize patients.
I was 16.
You're 16. That I thought you were pretty young. That's phenomenal, because I was sure just one quick little thing, and that's I was at a Burger King a couple years ago, and this guy had – this isn't good for Burger King saying this, but yeah, someone had passed out, and they you could tell they were not breathing. Their skin was changing colors, you know, which
blue.
I mean, that's blue. Yeah, it was not a good color. And my first thought was – please, Lord, I know CPR, but I don't want to. I don't want
to. You don't
do mouth-to-mouth? Yeah, mouth-to-mouth, because I'm going to kill him. He's already kind of dying, but I'll probably end it for him. And because it was just this, there's a rush of adrenaline that was coming
sure.
over me and everything else. And sure enough, though, the Lord answered my prayer. There was a couple of medics that got there quickly before I did. To be able to have that engineered, I think, in many ways, in you. Is phenomenal to me. You know?
Yeah, I mean, it was an interesting childhood, because I say I'm kind of weird, because even when I was a kid, I didn't hang out with kids my age.
Yeah,
just
yeah.
They seemed immature. Not that I'm still not the most mature person, but
right.
you know, just our thought processes were different. And I mean, I would in my senior year, I'd actually get called out on rescue calls.
Okay, really?
Yeah, from school.
That's crazy. That's a great experience.
So
yeah, yeah.
Talk about an excused absence.
Right.
Well, like, you know, small community.
Yeah,
do what
yeah.
you got to
do.
And let's see. You know, like I said, it went in the service. I got out. Finally got hired by the agency that I started out as a cadet, went to reserve. When I got out of the service, I got hired full time. Did that. I always maintained my EMT certification. And, It wasn't until, well, actually, like a year before Columbine that I became a certified tactical medic.
Really? Mm.
Yeah. And unfortunately, there wasn't anybody left to rescue at Columbine. But, you know, I had the training and I was ready to go. And I got an opportunity to use it, you know, a few times. And it's just, it's a, I love both fields. I had a passion to do both, so. And there was at one point when I worked for the Park County Sheriff's, which is where I grew up and lived. And at one point in time, I was a sheriff's deputy, I was a medic, and I was also a deputy coroner. So okay. I mean, my whole life's been around life and death.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Were you involved at all? You mentioned Columbine. Was that something you were?
Mine was one of, I want to say, like 10 different teams. We had. Okay. You know, we had local law enforcement, plus we had federal, we had like DEA, ATF, FBI, you know, of course, major metropolitan departments like Denver PD, Englewood PD, Lakewood PD. I worked for Arapahoe County Sheriff's Office. There was Jefferson County Sheriff's Office, and I'm sure I'm missing some agencies. It was, I mean, you have to understand, we had probably, I think, right, I want to say about 800 to 850 personnel,
really?
Law enforcement on that scene.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah, were you a believer at that point?
Yes.
Were you? Okay. And how did you process that?
You don't.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There are just some things that, through time that I learned, you simply cannot comprehend.
Yeah. Yeah, I bet.
And to try to comprehend, you'll make yourself crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's like people ask me about the day, and it was... It's pure evil. Mm. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as a law enforcement officer, you see it a lot more than you would like.
Yeah.
You know, people don't realize, I mean, especially nowadays, cops take a lot of heat for things that go bad. You know, and I can say in my career that I worked with some of the most professional men and women you'd ever want to work with.
Yeah.
And... You know, they're getting a bad rap because, you know, it's all about the media. I mean, the media takes people and they direct their attention to things that they want them to see.
Sure.
And, you know, I have to say, things that have been going on lately, it just, you know, with trying to do what Jesus does, I just, you know, it's... As you can tell, it's painful for me to talk about, because there's so much pain in the world. It's just overwhelming.
Yeah.
And, you know, I admit there was times when I was a police officer that I would show up on a scene, like say the death of a child or something like that, or a bad shooting, and had it not been my responsibility, I would have driven away.
Sure.
I mean, there were just things that I, you know, but as an officer, you have a job to do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you show up on scene and you have a list of things that you have to carry out, mm-hmm. you know, because if you're going to prosecute a case, you have to do everything by the numbers. And that's what your focus is.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, to citizens on scene, you come across as being like a robot,
mm-hmm.
unfeeling, uncaring,
right.
you know, and that's not it at all.
You have a job to do.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Yeah.
You know, there's just certain things that have to be done because, you know, 6 months, a year, 2 years down the road, when the case goes to trial, you know, everything that you messed up on that defense attorney, he's going to lock onto it and make you look like, you know, you don't know what you're doing.
Right. Sure.
So,
well, you know, man, Mike is, we're here today with Mike Cooksey, sharing his testimony, a little bit about his background. When we come back from our commercial break, mm-hmm. we're going to delve a little bit more into about his journey of faith, yeah. kind of where he is now, and what he hopes his life will accomplish in the days ahead. So we'll be right back right after this.
Yeah.
So let me ask you, who is doing the bookkeeping and payroll for your church? Is it the pastor or a very worn-out volunteer? Why not contact the experts at churchaccountingservices.com? We work within your schedule to make sure these important financial tasks are taken care of at a price you can afford and with no fuss. So contact us today at churchaccountingservices.com.
Attention all contractors, property owners, and construction managers. Are you looking for an environmentally friendly demolition service that will save you money while providing jobs to those in need? Then look no further. Jenka Services keeps you conscious while employing and training people who need jobs. We also offer finishing services like drywall installation and site prep work. So call Jenka Services today at 574-520-0225 and receive a free quote for your project.
All right. Well, hey, we are back with Mike Cooksey, and we've heard a little bit about his work history and some of the things he's experienced as a youth and callings in life. Mike, tell us about how you came to the Lord and what that was like and what the journey has been like since then.
Yeah. Well, initially, I mean, when I came to the Lord, I was 16, and you know, I didn't know what I was signing up for, and you know. It's like I was telling you guys during the break, you know, it's if you were to look at my, you know, my life in the flesh and life with God, the graph would, you know, be kind of up and down, because it's like there's been points I've been very close and there's been other points where I've been far away. Mm-hmm. You know, not that I ever denied his existence, just, right. You know, there were just times I didn't feel as close as others. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some of it had to do with where I was in my life. You know, I was talking about the fact that... In 1994, I had been married to this woman for a month and a half, and suddenly she got sick and passed away. Wow. And, you know, needless to say, I was kind of blindsided. You know, here I am preparing in my mind to spend the rest of my life with this woman, and then she just gets sick, and in the course of like a week, she's gone.
Wow. Wow.
And, you know, I'll never forget the first time. I didn't know at the time what it was, but I experienced... You know, the peace of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they bring me into this room where they've got her body, and the only thing, you know, she's covered with a sheet, and there's like an overhead light, and the only thing that's exposed is her face. Mm-hmm. And as I'm standing there, I get this sensation of warm oil, you know, starting at the top of my head and just kind of cascading down my body to the floor.
Wow.
And... You know, like I said, at the time I didn't know what it was. I knew that I had this overwhelming sense of peace.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that everything was going to be okay.
Yeah.
I knew it. Mm-hmm. I never cried, because her name was Joanna. Uh-huh. She was an extremely strong Christian. Uh-huh. You know, and it's like, for a Christian to die is gain.
Right. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And you know how it says to be absent in the flesh, you know, is to be present with the Lord, and she believed that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you know, how could I be sad about that?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Anyway, I didn't know what I had experienced until 20 years later. I was at my church, the North Point Vineyard, uh-huh. and they had a movie with Todd White, and he was praying with somebody, and they start to describe this experience with the warm oil, and I said, that's it.
That's it.
You know, and I had no idea. Uh-huh. Had no idea it was the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Just, psh.
Yeah.
And... when I saw that movie, it brought 20 years full circle.
Wow.
You know, because Joanna died in 1994. This is 2014. Shortly after that, they at our church, they have the School of Kingdom Ministry.
Uh-huh.
And I made up my mind that I was going to go through that. Because I definitely wanted to understand and have a closer relationship with Jesus Christ. And you can't have that unless you bury yourself in the Word. You know, it's like I try to explain to people, you know, because I am approached and they ask me, well, how do you find God? And it's like, it's in your Bible. You know, somebody told me this acronym a long time ago. The Bible stands for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth.
Right. Yeah.
And it's like there's so much truth to that. But you can't read the Scriptures like a novel, you know, because if you do that, you're just skimming the surface of what the Bible has to offer.
So much, yeah.
And,
so many nuggets.
You know, because, I mean, how many times have you looked at a passage like a year ago and you go back and you read the same passage
and you glean something completely different.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Scriptures, they're living.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, the Bible is a living and breathing thing.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's as relevant today as it was 2,000 years ago. I mean, you know, the Scripture, it just, it's a living, breathing entity. And, you know, it's like something that some people don't understand. It's like, you know, every day I try to live my life a little more like Jesus. Mm. And knowing that I will never be perfect.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll never be perfect at perfection, mm-hmm. ever.
Yeah.
But it's my goal. Mm.
Yeah.
Well, you talk about the Word. You know, the Bible also tells us that we're living epistles. We're living letters to be read of men.
Definitely.
And so you said if you looked at your journey and your walk with the Lord, it looked like a graph, like a, you know. And so, you know, I like to talk to people like that, like you.
Sure.
Who have had struggles. Like, you're in law enforcement. You see a lot. You're an EMT. You see a lot of life, a lot of death, a lot of tragedy, a lot of triumph. If someone read your life and you said, man, there were times because of where I was in life, what has it been in your own personal testimony that has made you stuck or caused you not to be as close to the Lord as you wanted to be?
I think, you know, it's like I was never mad at God for Joanna's death. And I think, as I look back, I think part of the reason that I drew away was just because I got to the point where I just couldn't stand to see the pain anymore, and I questioned. Mm-hmm. You know, and I've learned since then that God's okay with that.
Yeah.
It's okay to question.
Yeah, sure.
Absolutely.
But I think if I had to attribute it to one thing, it would be that, you know, that I just, you see so much as, you know, being in law enforcement or being a first responder in general, I mean, you know, firefighters, paramedics, law enforcement, you know, even the guys that work in corrections, they deal with an element of society that really nobody else wants to deal with.
Right.
And, you know, unfortunately, you know, that part of society needs God more than anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But there's not a lot of people that want to step forward and try to minister to them.
Mm-hmm.
And doing that, you, like I said, you have a ringside seat to man's inhumanity to man. I mean, mm-hmm. I've seen people that were killed for $5.
Wow.
I've seen people murdered for a couple of crack, you know, rocks. Mm-hmm. Just incomprehensible things. I remember a guy killed his stepdad because they had an argument about the fried chicken not being cooked right.
Really?
I mean, that's just, wow. I mean, it just, wow. It's mind-boggling. It's like television and movies cannot begin to portray the insanity, you know, that goes on in the streets.
Mm-hmm.
It's a whole different world. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's one of the things that makes my heart sad about all the stuff that's going on today, because there are people from all sides that want to put race into the mix. And I mean, I can only speak for me. I mean, I have my prejudices,
sure.
But it's not based on skin color.
Yeah.
It's just not. And, you know, the enemy wants us to be divided.
Yeah.
I mean, that's his ultimate goal,
mm-hmm.
as a world to keep us divided, because, you know, in our division, he gains strength.
Yeah.
And
it's dividing. Yeah,
and that's one thing that I'm glad you mentioned that, because that's something which there is I believe that God wants to heal this land.
Well, I do too.
Yeah, I fully believe that. And the one thing that I've seen is he is showing his people that he wants to heal our land. The thing is, are we willing to humbly come before him, as Scripture says?
That's the key.
And humbly come before him on our knees and saying, Lord God, will you heal our land? And that, well, he is the King of Kings and he is the Lord of Lords, and that takes humility to do that. It takes a willing to sacrifice to my brother or to my sister in Christ, and because, you know, to actually see that unity to take place within his church, within his kingdom, would have a huge impact and profound impact on the culture as well. But I just, you hit a button that the Lord's been really hitting me on.
Well, you just hit a button with me.
Okay. Hmm. Yeah, it'd be good to hear that that button. So,
well, you know, it says in Scripture that all nations are created from one blood. I absolutely believe that because if you get into the genetics of it, you know, it's like you go to Ancestry.com or one of the others, I can't remember, 321 or one of the other Ancestry places where you can do a DNA sample and they'll tell you what percentage of what you are.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing.
Right.
It's like, I mean, you have these people that, you know, look like they may have, you know, at one point belonged to the skinheads and find out that they have African American in their background.
Exactly,
yeah. You know. But, I mean, something that has really been on my heart lately mm-hmm. is that God didn't mean for us to go through this life alone.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not sure, I'm guessing at the garden when sin came into things, you know, because pride is what keeps us apart.
Yeah.
You talk about humility. Part of the problem is we have people, and when I say people, I'm not using colors because everybody's guilty of it, you know. It's the everybody wants to bring up the crimes of the past.
Sure, right.
And we have to get past that.
Yeah.
You know, it's like Jesus is all about love and forgiveness. Well, that includes forgetting.
It's hard, yeah.
And, you know, it's like, I don't know about you.
Right.
But my ancestors came from Ireland, okay?
Sure.
You know, to hold me responsible for whatever white people did, you know, it's like,
sure.
I didn't do it,
right.
You know? And it's like, we have to, you know, everybody on all sides, you know, either needs to get a thicker skin or have the ability to forget. But they ultimately, you know, like you said, it comes down to humility.
It really does.
Yeah. You know, we have to remember that we're all children of God,
right.
Regardless of the color of our skin,
mm-hmm.
You know, regardless of our individual religions,
right.
You know, it's all about the Father.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And with that saying, unfortunately, we are just out of zero time. and I hate to break off this because I think we could, this is a part of the story in which we could be talking for the next hour on, a whole week, if not for months, right?
Yeah.
And because this is, there's a division here, a chasm that needs to be filled.
Absolutely.
And the only one that can reach that chasm is our Savior, Jesus Christ. That is the only one. He is the one that is the uniter. And we to not be so focused on the one that's the divider. So, Gil, could you pray us out?
Absolutely,
okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. And thank you,
thank
Mike,
you, Mike, for being with us today. Yeah,
I'd love to come back. So,
well, Father, we just thank you for this day and this time, Lord.
Yes,
we thank
Lord.
You for what you can do in a life that's submitted to you.
Yes.
And, Lord, sometimes we would love if our journey would be a straight line. But like Mike alluded to earlier, it's full of valleys and peaks and detours and turns and steep drops and upward climbs. Lord, this journey is not always easy, and we all have a prescribed journey that we're on. And so I ask, Lord, that you would watch over each and every one in our listening audience, Lord, and give them the strength for the journey.
Amen.
We thank you,
yes.
And we give you praise.
Amen.
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 Thank you for sharing your heart. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
Yeah.